We got to chat with Pravin Kumar, the CEO of the Belrium blockchain, which recently got admitted onto the CMA Kenya regulatory sandbox. Take a listen. Okay, so Pravin Kumar, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much.
All right, so I think before we get started, let us know where are you calling from and how is the situation there?
I'm based in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Over here, the COVID situation has been contained pretty much, and we are quite free to move around over here as of now.
All right. So I think we'll just go straight to our discussion. What is the Belrium blockchain?
Belrium is, a private-public blockchain combination. It's a hybrid blockchain. So you can term it as an identity-specific blockchain. So we try to identify the anonymity issue in the blockchain space.
All right. And I know that you just recently got admitted into the Kenya regulatory sandbox. But before we even go there, maybe you can tell us, what is the problem that the Belrium blockchain is trying to solve?
In the entire blockchain space, ever since we started in 2014, one of the most major issue due to which why the regulators and governments are staying away from fully regulating it or fully adopting it is the anonymity part. And in addition to that, why the major corporates are still not fully embracing this one is basically because the privacy part, they have the concern about, putting the data completely onto the public blockchain. So these two factors have been a roadblock for the fintech companies to take their cases to the regulators. So what we have done is that, we try to address that particular issue. Initially through our exchange, as you know that we run the exchanges in multiple regions. One of the issues that what we also faced was to identify the incoming transfers and the outgoing transfers, whether it is from legitimate sources. So we were also, having or rather facing these problems of digital transactions. We decided to, first of all, identify that particular issue. So that's how the entire idea of Belrium came in. While doing this, we also, consider the fact that, privacy also is a concern. Especially for the government entities. So we thought of coming up with a combination of privacy and also the capability of the public peer-to-peer transaction. So that's the entire idea of coming up with this particular solution. By using this particular blockchain, I should rather say that this is the first blockchain which is fully KYC compliant. That is, know your client compliant. In our blockchain, if you are not identified, we don't allow you to transact. So that's, it might not be liked by many people, but whether you like it or not, this will be a necessity in the future when we are thinking of, putting all these assets onto the blockchain. There is no way that, without the identification, we will be able to seamlessly do the transactions. So that's what we are trying to identify, be it our blockchain or be it any other blockchain. If you want to do a peer-to-peer transaction, we provide you a decentralized identification solution through the Belrium blockchain. So this can be applied in many ways so that at some other point, we can discuss further in detail.
All right. Now, coming down to Africa, I know that you've been in the African space for quite some time. Maybe would you tell us what opportunities exist in emerging markets, like Kenya and Africa?
Huge opportunities. So see, one of the major issue in those regions is lack of identification. Whether it is government aid, foreign aid, or any kind of services that are directed to certain specific groups, specific people, delivering these aids or solutions to the right people has always been a difficult issue. You know, whether it is Kenyan Red Cross agency or any other aid agencies also, always this has been an issue. So across Africa, having an identifiable solution or identification solution to each and every citizen in the entire African nations is one of what I should say the most needed part, which would solve a lot of things, be it government services, be it digital services or educational services. So we have tried to address this issue right from the beginning beginning of our launch over there, and Kenya was the first place for us to launch our operations, and we have been communicating or rather coordinating with so many agencies, drug distribution agencies, aid distribution agencies, government authorities, and also regulators to see how actually we can identify the people effectively and provide the solution effectively. So the opportunity in Africa is massive, especially in the identification space. So not only Belvium blockchain, there is Microsoft, there are many other major players who are working on the identity system. As you know that all these fintech companies and the companies who are specifically working on the blockchain space are, you know, are coming up with various smart contracts, various solutions to provide a peer-to-peer solution, right? So no matter whatever the smart contracts that you are coming up with, if you are not able to identify you know, the people in the digital space, you will not be effectively be able to provide a decentralized solution. So that's a massive space in Africa, and we are addressing that particular issue first. So this is the first priority for us, to identify the people, and then we will move on to the second stage of converting the assets into the blockchain assets.
All right. I know that you also focused on getting governments and regulators to, you know, look at the blockchain and its use cases. Maybe can you expound on that as well?
Yes. See, one of the issue what we faced, and similar to us, many other companies also faces, to make these agencies to understand the potential of blockchain and the capability of blockchain, and also you know, how safe it is, you know, this particular space, how to utilize that. So this these kind of things are far away from their understanding. I'm talking about many of the regulators. So they have traveled a long way from 2014. In 2020, many of the regulators have started regulating the space. Initially, the regulation is confined to financial services, but now that is expanding to healthcare systems, even identity management solution. So they are expanding their regulatory purview into all these you know, services also. And so yes, still there is a lack of understanding among the regulators and the policymakers, and there is a resistance from the financial sector. I'm talking about the banks and also the major financial institutions still towards, you know, a fully blockchain-based solution. They still, I should say that rather, they might see it as a threat, or they might see it as a replacement. But irrespective of that, since they hold a pretty strong say in the existing government system, so there is a fair bit of resistance still for that option. So to navigate through these hurdles, you know, we had to work around a lot, especially educate both the government agencies and the regulators. So we have spent almost 3 years with both the Kenyan agencies and also with many other African agencies also, by you know, building capacity solutions for them and educating them both on the crypto space and also on the blockchain space. There has been you know, a give and take from both the ends. So we have also modified our solutions, modified our processes based on the local requirements, and they have also understood. They listened to whatever that the solution that we have proposed, and they have also modified you know, their offerings also. So it was a long journey with all the regulators. So we are still continuing that, and I assume so that this will continue for the next few years. So for the market to mature on the blockchain space, still a long way to go.
All right. No doubt, I think the 3 years of work and effort has paid off, which obviously is the biggest news, is that you got accepted into the CMA Kenya Regulatory Sandbox. So maybe you can tell us, how was the process of applying and getting accepted into these sandbox?
This is a great news for us. And as you know, that Kenya was our first African region that we ventured into, and it has always been quite dear to us. As I explained earlier, we have been closely communicating with the regulators, just not from a sandbox license per se. We have been explaining them about our processes, our solutions, and they have been communicating with us in regards to their concerns. So there was a mutual understanding, mutual education that has been going on for quite a long time. As you said, that has definitely paid well for us. The sandbox license process has been quite smooth, but it has taken a long time. I won't attribute the delay to the regulatory side. Rather, it is from the market participant, because since we are offering the solution to capital markets client, it is a prerequisite for CMA to have existing license holder to work with us in the sandbox process. So this took a quite long time for us to identify a market participant. So as of now, we have identified and we have engaged with an MOU with Scope Markets. So that's the first company that we are trying the sandbox license engagement with. So this has taken a quite long time, because we have approached many agencies, and there was apprehensions in regards to what we can do and how they can participate. And finally, it went well with Scope Markets, and currently the first phase of testing will be done with the licensed participant.
All right, that's great to hear. I know that Scope Markets is one of only two companies that are licensed to trade in Kenya. Am I correct?
That's right. In fact, they are also quite innovative in their approach. So that's the reason they were able to understand what we were proposing. So the traditional financial institutions, it was a little bit hard for them to digest that what we were talking about. So it was natural that Scope Markets was welcome enough to take us.
All right, great. Now, talking about the regulatory sandbox, I know that one of the requirements by CMA Kenya is that it only applies for products, services, and business models that are not clearly addressed under existing laws and regulations. What would you say is not clearly defined in law for your blockchain product?
See, currently, having you being digitized, having the consumers being digitized, and to provide them the services in a digitized manner is not defined effectively. Still, there is a lot of element that comes into picture when an onboarding needs to be done or when a service need to be provided. So there is a broken element of online services with the offline requirements. So what we are trying to do is to, first of all, give you an avatar, I should say, onto the blockchain space. So once you are effectively identified onto the blockchain space, then providing the capital market solution is quite easy and quite seamless. That will be the effort that what we will be doing. So the innovation that what we bring in to the capital market solution is onboarding of the client in a very seamless way. So once we complete our sandbox process, you or anybody within Kenya will be able to onboard to any licensed capital market participant with a click of a button. So that's the access point that what we are trying to provide. So this will enable a whole new bunch of people to access the markets which were not accessible to them. So we are completely removing all those inefficiency within the process of onboarding the client to the broker. So this is the, so basically it's a three level of process that what we are doing. First, to identify you onto the blockchain, and second is conversion of assets to the digital assets, and the third one, the last stage, would be to allow you to transact digitally in a decentralized manner. So that would be the last stage of our process. But initially, the current sandbox process would be to identify and to put you onto the blockchain.
All right. I also know that another requirement for getting onto the sandbox is that the solution needs to be very innovative. I mean, would you mind discussing that aspect of it in regards to what you're offering?
Yeah, absolutely. Because see, currently, when you go to open one bank account, you have to provide the documents over there. You go to another financial institution, you provide the documents over there. Then even if within the same bank, when you go again to do some operations or rather to open another account, again, you need to provide the documents. So we are trying to avoid, or rather our solution will literally take away all these inefficiency. So if you are onboarded with one particular agency, you will be able to share that particular information to any other agencies also. And when you want to transact to any other third party within the ecosystem, you can actually utilize your solution in a decentralized manner. Till date, whenever you are onboarded, all your identity is being held with that particular institution. You do not have anything. You go to a bank, you open your account, your data is collected, and that data stays with the bank. You cannot use that particular data. You again go to another bank, that bank again spends time and money to again identify you. So what we are trying to do over here is, whenever this identification is done for you, you also hold that particular claim because you are the owner of your data. So once you hold this particular data, you are able to share that seamlessly wherever you want. So this is the innovation that what we are bringing in. I'm talking about the first level of innovation. The second level would be the digitization of the assets onto the blockchain. And the third level of innovation would be this digitized assets and the digitized user, both of them seamlessly interacting with each other for the transaction. So there's a three level of process that will be going on.
All right. Maybe to reiterate again, so the three levels, what is being tested on the sandbox?
First level? Yeah, the sandbox would be the first one, that is identification and onboarding to the capital markets. That's the first level. So we will be completing that first.
All right. Now, yeah. I know that Belfrix also, you run an exchange. My question is, are you looking also to test a crypto product, maybe now or in future in the regulatory sandbox?
In the current sandbox, there is no testing of crypto at this point in time. So it will be purely KYC solution that what we'll be testing. In the second level, we will be testing a digitized version of Kenyan shilling, but not our cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ethereum. So that won't be coming into picture even the second level. The third level, by the time if Kenyan government or the regulators regulate the crypto assets, then we will bring in the decentralized currencies also into the picture. But as of now, the entire sandbox process will involve KYC, KES, and the digitized KES.
All right. I also know that you've been regulated in other jurisdictions. Maybe you can tell us how does that regulation look like when you compare it to maybe markets like Kenya and the rest of Africa?
Different regions have different processes. Like for example, in Mexico, we are in the process of getting three different licenses. One would be the KYC process, the other one would be the exchange one, and the third one is a stable coin, that is conversion of the Mexican peso into the digital currency. So there are different licenses that we work on in different regions depending upon what they are ready to accept. So as of now, in African region, completely testing using the crypto is not applicable. So that's out of the scope at this point in time. Maybe by 2021, that might start, I suppose. There are certain other African region who have come up with some guidelines in regards to peer-to-peer lending on the blockchain process, but still the trading related regulation, I should say, still in the making, in the dressing room it is. The first sandbox license that what we had from Bahrain, we already graduated successfully from there, but that was to test country to country money transfer process using blockchain, so which we completely succeeded that. And in the same license, we also had the KYC solution that what we are currently testing in Kenya with a slight variation. So we tested out over there. In Malaysia, we have a full-fledged license for running the digital assets exchange. In Nigeria, the second African region that we are very much close to getting a license, we will be working on both the exchange license and also the KYC license over there. So both these regions, the regulatory approaches are almost similar. A full-fledged sandbox license for digital currency transaction in African region currently is, it'll take some more time. Fintech companies should work more on products and services at the initial stage so that they can get admitted to the sandbox. And as and when then they are ready to accept the cryptocurrencies, then those licenses can be taken up.
All right. I could ask this on a side note. In Africa, which capital markets authority do you feel is the easiest to work with, or at least is more forward thinking of all the jurisdictions you've been in?
That's a difficult question. I should say that the CMA, the CBK, and also the CBN and SEC, I'm talking about Nigeria and Kenya, both of them are very competitive, they have a very strong understanding of what blockchain is, what cryptocurrency is, what is happening within the nation, within the country. They are well aware about the market players, the type of business that is being carried out in these regions. So very forward-looking agencies these are. And you should expect pretty soon, a lot of changes, a lot of adoptions. And I should say that very innovative approach will be coming up from these regulators, which will be very beneficial. I'm pretty sure that these regions will again lead in the African region for the digital space. In fact, it can, if they do it in the right way and if other major financial institutions also support and jump into the wagon, it can be, I should say, that one of the leading region across the globe for the blockchain innovations.
All right. Also, have you faced any challenges dealing with the central banks? I know that our central bank here in Kenya has a bit of some reservations towards these technologies. Have you faced any challenges in that regard?
I won't say that we didn't face any challenge. Yes, challenges are there, and they will be cautious enough to, you know, adopt these, given the fact that there is huge volatility in the market. And, you know, since it's a borderless transactions, borderless data storage that is being taken up, they have to take proper measures before allowing, or rather before endorsing, these business to freely being carried out in those regions. So it will be a cautious approach that they will still be continuing. So I don't think so there is any wrong approach to that one. But yes, the sooner the better. The security agencies or the other regulatory agencies are doing pretty well in compensating whatever the difficulties that what we face from the central bank is being mitigated from other agencies. So it's fine enough.
All right. Now, I'm sure you know that there are many startups and fintechs that have attempted to apply for these sandbox license with no success. What do you feel informed CMA Kenya to consider Belrium for the sandbox?
I should say that one of the main points that has helped us is our strong understanding of the digital space. I'm talking about the crypto space itself. So since we have been operating in this space for quite a long time, we are able to effectively paint the picture of what we are trying to do. And we are able to demonstrate to them, the solution that what we are trying to do. So I suppose many of the fintech companies who are trying to provide the solution are pretty weak on the coin of digital space. I'm talking about how you will be delivering that particular services to the general public. So whatever they try to explain to the regulatory body would be a specific solution, which might not have a feasibility in regards to peer-to-peer application. So we were able to effectively counter those requirements, both on the peer-to-peer side, the security aspects, and also the one which you mentioned about the innovation. So it was a combination of all these benefits that has helped in bringing up our application to the success rate. In addition, yes, we being regulated in many other regions also have helped the licensing process.
Right. Okay. And on a personal level, how do you feel about, you know, getting accepted into the CMA Kenya sandbox?
Very much excited, because as I told you that it's been quite a long time for us. It's almost yes. 3 years for us to waiting to effectively do full scale business in Kenya. So this has given us a great boost for us, and we should be completing the sandbox process in the shortest of time, and we will go for the full-fledged operations as early as possible, and we will definitely bring in more added value to the capital markets. So it's a beautiful combination of the blockchain space and the capital market space. So this particular sandbox, in fact, all the other sandbox licenses that what we hold, with that, and if I compare the Kenyan sandbox license, it has its uniqueness, because we are specifically going to do an experiment with the established capital markets, wherein which in all the other sandbox licenses we have been completely experimenting with the blockchain space. So here we are trying to bridge the gap between the crypto space, or rather the blockchain space, and also the established traditional capital market. So it's a combination of these two. So the end result definitely should be exciting.
All right. Yeah. And also I have to say this on behalf of the blockchain community. We are also really excited to see a blockchain product being sandboxed. So I guess a win for one is a win for all of us.
And thank you so much.
Yeah, no doubt. And now I know that regulation is kind of a big topic in this space. Would you say, or what would you say are the risks of not regulating innovative solutions like crypto and blockchain?
Risk of not regulating is huge, especially in blockchain space, because there is an element of financial transaction that is being involved in this. And since it's very, very new, highly volatile, and easily accessible to general public, the risk of people being conned or people being misled is quite high. And since it's a decentralized process, the entry level, or rather the barrier, is very less in the unregulated space. So people can provide services remotely from anywhere in the world. So that increases the risk to the general investors considerably. So I'm of the opinion that a well-regulated space definitely will give enough cushioning for that particular market space to experiment very well. Being not regulated will increase the scope of bad elements offering wrong products and wrong solutions to the people. And when people are not clear about whether I should, or rather who is the right entity to deal with, there is always the scope of they landing up into the wrong space. So getting regulation, being regulated, is much better than not being regulated.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of us in this space would agree with that comment. Now, also, maybe what advice would you give, for someone who has successfully gotten onto a regulatory sandbox? What advice would you give to anyone looking to apply for such a license, not only in Kenya, but also in Africa?
First and foremost, what I would suggest is that they should understand both the space. When they talk about the blockchain product, they also need to understand the crypto space also very well. When I say crypto space, that does not mean, only the Bitcoin related currencies or, altcoins. What I'm referring to is a peer-to-peer financial transaction. It could be a stablecoin related transaction, or it could be a crypto related transaction. So any kind of fintech solution that you are trying to provide on a blockchain will involve certain element of peer-to-peer transaction. So when that space is involved, your understanding of the other side of the coin is also very important. So if you understand that, you will be able to demonstrate the applicability of your solution well with the regulator. So that I think so would be a very, very major advantage for you, rather than simply taking up a plain vanilla idea to the regulator. So that is one. And number two, it should be a constant engagement with the regulator. So I don't think so that a one or two meeting process would be sufficient enough for the fintech company to explain that particular solution to the regulators. Since it's completely innovative, completely new, there's a sinking in time that is needed for them to understand what they are trying to provide. So even if it takes a little bit longer time for the application to be through, that's fine enough. They should take more effort to explain the process in a much better way to the regulator, both from the peer-to-peer side and also from their existing solution that what they are providing.
All right. I know that you'll have a lot of insights, you know, from that experience. We really hope maybe you can talk to us 3-6 months from now to give us an update maybe on the sandbox experience.
Absolutely, because we will be starting the process pretty soon, and within the next 3 to 6 months, you will be seeing a visible product in the market, which is being tested. And we hope that we will be able to extend that particular solution to all the capital market participants within Kenya.
All right. Thank you so much, Praveen. And we really appreciate your time to talk with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Yeah.